We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami, yeah. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami, Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas. And with me today, producer and co-founder, Brian Goins.
1 week away from Pat Riley waking up from his slumber to make some moves.
For the geezer to finally awaken to whale dance, to whale hunt. I read the chat and Tiff said she likes to dance. I do, so I say whale dance. On the right of the screen, host of Hangover Time, host of Light Skinned Opinions, you're a Heat Twitter president, Alf954. What's up, Alf?
What's up, everybody? Pat, do something. I'm like the gif with the stick.
Honestly, at this point, we need content. We're severely lacking content because that Team USA basketball isn't giving us any.
Alf, listen, we're going to get into the free agency stuff. Let's start real quick. With Team USA, because they lost to the French, which is just never a good look. You can't be losing to the French.
Can't lose to Gobert, man. Yeah. Come on.
That's just embarrassing.
They lost to Evan Fournier like it was a random Miami Heat Magic game.
Yeah. Bro, I have not watched more than 5 seconds. I got to keep recording the games, but then we keep losing, so I don't go back and watch them. Because, like, why would I do that to myself? Like, come on. But,
smart move.
But like what I have seen, man, it's when you used to go to the court back in the day and there was like a team of 5 fundamental white boys and then there was like 5 dudes, all ballers, I guess, hoopers, out there. Hoopers. You know, they all were dressed like they had the whole fit on, like they all wearing J's and headbands and they were ready.
Somebody
to
has
go.
A shooting sleeve?
Yeah. Somebody has a shooting sleeve on the wrong arm and like, those 5 fundamental white boys just wiped the floor with, you know, the super athletic hooping team. That's what I've watched whenever I've seen any highlights. It's just like shot chucking, ISO ball, like can't do anything past. Can't
Roger
do anything
Park,
past. Like Siobhan said in the chat, there are no 3 seconds of the key and you can pull the ball off the rim and the USA decided to not bring in any size.
Like none.
You're allowed to camp out underneath the basket. Like Hassan Whiteside should be a gold medalist.
Was
right now.
Christian Wood busy? Did he be like, nah, man, I have like other plans? Well, like it's summertime, I got vacation.
It's wild. I don't know. That's some wild ass roster construction. I just gotta say that.
Did he see the bed situation and be like, nah, man, I don't, no thanks.
I don't know. And then KD's out there like just missing shit. Like, did he just not have anything to do? Like most guys of his ilk. Don't play. It's like he's like carrying the Carmelo Anthony flag like going forward. Like most guys of his ilk, like do a couple Olympics and then bow out. Like he's still going strong and like come on, he's embarrassing. So.
I mean, you know,
dude, how do you go?
Go ahead, Ryan.
This is how do you go from like kicking ass in that Bucks series, from almost like winning a game-winning shot, making like every single play three. To not be able to make a wide open three. That's not even like an NBA regulation three. It's literally like 2 inches or 3 inches shorter.
I have a theory.
Go ahead.
That ball is fucking them up.
I think it's the foul calling, but the ball can't help.
it's really the foul calling. They don't want to drive because, first of all, they don't want to get hurt because it's fucking Olympics. Like, nobody wants to get hurt in the Olympics. And they're not calling any fouls, so they're just chucking shots all day long, and they're missing. And you see what's happening.
Like, they have bags to secure. Nobody's out here trying to get hurt. We're trying to have fun in Tokyo.
Yeah, nobody's trying to get undercut by fucking Evan Fournier, you know, and miss half a season.
Did you see like, Dame's comments? He's like, man, these European guys are different out here.
Yeah, they play. He's
like, man, this guy sucks.
That sounds like some sore loser shit. They play harder for their own country. Yeah. Like that sounded, you know, Dame came suspect with me on that one.
I have another theory. I feel like the reason why they don't want to play good is because they want to get out of Japan as quick as possible. Like, I feel like they might just lose all their gains because have you seen the Athletics Village in the beds that the sleep on? Yeah. They're like cardboard beds.
That's why Kevin Love asked for out. He saw the writing on the wall and be like, man, you know what?
Like, I'm not going to give any minutes anyway, so why am I going to be here?
But and according to Hot Take Harry, it's all Coach Pop. So
it's Coach Pop's fault. I mean, like, it's always. I love.
He's the one missing wide open threes to close out the French.
He did pick the team though. He did pick Zach LaVine over like a tall person.
Yeah.
Like Jay Sane is like John Collins. Fuck it, Bismack would get 20 and 10. Hell yeah, dude. Get some size, get some rebounding, some length, some long arms.
I'm telling you, Hassan Whiteside would dominate the Olympics right now. Yeah.
So that's our Team USA update. So really what I wanted to talk about today, Alf, and I think that you and me are kind of aligned on how like unreasonable people are being about signing like a quality point guard. It's like everything is too much for them, right? It's like, oh, I'm not like it's their money, right? Like that they're, because I want people to understand something about the way that the Heat salary cap is positioned. They can offer about like $27 or $28 million to Lowry if they renounce a bunch of guys and they lose Duncan and all that, right? So like they can get the cap space, but that's not what they're gonna do because they want to keep Duncan and they wanna have access to their full mid-level exception. And the only way that you can have access to that is by entering free agency as an over-the-cap team. So if you opt into Dragic and into Andre Iguodala to sign and trade them. Now you have the op now because you enter the offseason as an over the cap team, quote unquote, you have access to this $9.5 or almost $10 million exception that you wouldn't have if you entered the offseason without it. So let's say they say, you know what, we're going to operate as a cap space team. That means you enter free agency and you get what's called the room exception, which is like a 4-point-something million dollar. It's a much smaller mid-level exception, even lower.
Mo Harkless type yeah, money.
Bargain bin type shit, right? It's like almost like the same as a biannual. So if you're the Heat, you're like, well, let's say we keep Duncan, right? Because we want to keep him. So we have about $24 million in cap space-ish, right? Okay, let's say you sign a guy like Lonzo for 20. Now you're left with $3 million because you can't sign guys over the cap in room. So your spending power is really limited because now your exceptions are smaller and you got a lesser guy. So if you pay Lowry the bag, you get to get over the cap. Now you trigger your mid-level exception. You have a biannual exception that you did not use last year. And you can also re-sign your guys and you can stay just enough under the hard cap because the sign and trade will trigger the hard cap and the full mid-level and the biannual exception will trigger the hard cap. So you can do all this. It's just, does Mickey want to pay the tax? Now, Alf, all these dudes caping for Mickey's, you know, cruise money, that's what's a little weird to me.
Yeah, I don't, first of all, I mean, beyond all that stuff you said, because I checked out like halfway through, I'm sure it was a thorough explanation and it made a lot of sense. Like, I just don't think people understand how much an elite or a good above average point guard costs. Like, people are so worried about the fact, okay, you got to pay Kyle $9 million, or like Lonzo Ball is worth $20 million, or this person, like a quality point guard is going to cost you $20 million and up. Or you're going to get Eric Bledsoe. Like, I mean, come on, like we have to be honest about how much a good point guard costs in today's NBA. And if that's what it's going to cost, that's what you have to pay. That's what the market demands, and or we run back with play point guards, as I say all the time on Hangover Time. Like, I am done with these experimental point guards. Like, stop giving me guys and saying he can play point. No, give me a point guard that can play point. And let the rest of these motherfuckers.
Proven.
Yeah, like, let Kendrick Nunn go be a scorer. Tyler Hero be a scorer. Going back to Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson. Like, I am so sick of not having a real point guard. And Dragic, he was, I mean, we all know where Dragic is right now. I mean, we can't rely on him to be healthy for a full season. And he's also never been a true, true point guard. Like, they have to, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, they have to find themselves a true point guard that can get downhill and create for others. And, you know, everything, to me, everything else is secondary, because we can go out and get a John Collins and do this and do that. But if none is your point guard starting next season, you have failed.
So I want to get to Brian's take on this, because I know Brian's really well-versed in like how all this works. But a couple of people in chat said a couple of things I want to say. So somebody asked, why would the Raptors want to take on Andre or Dragic? I mean, obviously you'd give them something, like, whether it be Precious, or, you know, you let them get a massive expiring contract that you can move for something later. I mean, the expiring contract has a value, right? Andre is a guy that, you know, you can move, right? Dragic is a guy you can move. Those are contracts people will take. They're about to expire. And you can get like a young asset, whether it's KZ Ogbala, whether it's Precious, whatever the figure is. So that's why. And if Kyle wants to be here, the Raptors are like, well, we can lose him for nothing, or we can get a young asset and an expiring contract. So like that is something. And Masai's not out here losing dudes for nothing. Then Chum Bucket asks, gee, we get it. What if Lowry regresses a lot over the next year and we get bounced in two rounds, and now we're stuck with the 36-year-old Wash point guards with 2 years for 60 left? We just saw Eric Bledsoe get moved twice. We saw Russell Westbrook get moved twice.
Can we stop this with, oh, how we'll never be able to get off of this contract? The Heat have proven that they are better at getting rid of bad contracts than they are at finding good point guards, right? So if they have a chance to get a good point guard, and listen, whether it be Lowry, whether it be Lonzo, whoever it is, right? I've been big on the Lowry train, but if it's not Lowry, it just needs to be, they need a point guard, plain and simple. But the idea that you will not be able to move Lowry in a year or two because he's making $30 million. We said that about Chris Paul, like you said. We said it about Russell Westbrook.
Twice.
We said it about John Wall.
How about Steven Adams?
Steven Adams, like, we keep doing this. Every contract in the NBA is tradable.
Joe Johnson, like, was tradable.
Do you remember when people were mad because we were going to give Andre Iguodala $17
million? Yep.
That is one of our most valuable assets right now. Like, shut up with, oh, how would we ever move? Now we
redacted
have to
Redacted got you a Ariza. Redacted got you a starting power forward that you would not have had. You could talk
you
shit about
Mo him.
You
traded Mo Harkless. You traded Avery Bradley. Like, at no contract is untradeable. We need to stop this.
Some buckets, like, they had to attack the 10th pick to move Bledsoe. I mean, they moved down in the draft. It's not like they gave the 10th pick and nothing else. So they gave the 10th pick in a draft that is very notoriously top five and everybody else sucks, right? So it's not like they gave up a fucking 10th pick in a stacked draft, right? They gave up the 10th pick in a draft that everybody is like, outside of the top four, maybe five guys. Right, Brian? Like, it's not like they gave up this.
It's supposed to be a deeper draft, but I don't think, in terms of start quality, this draft doesn't have start quality. There's like three guys, like the top three are like the guys that, you know, people are expecting to be like, you know, for sure, like decent starters. I think maybe two of them probably would be all-stars. I don't know about Jalen Green as much, to be honest. I feel like he's a good scorer, but he doesn't really show me much else.
Cade's the guy.
He's supposed to be the guy that might be taking number two for Houston. But to me, I think the two guys that people will always talk about in this draft is like, you know, the for sure prospects is Cade Cunningham, supposed to be a 6'8 point guard that actually can shoot. So like basically opposite of Ben Simmons. And then there's also the Mobley guy, who's the center that basically I heard today, just reading on like timeline scouting news, someone mentioned that he has the potential to have defensive all-star potential as Chris Bosh with the offensive, no, opposite, defensive potential of Anthony Davis with the offensive potential of Chris Bosh. Which, if that's the case, why isn't he going number one overall?
That's what Carl White.
That's some hyperbole. But gee, I have a question for you. Okay, let's say if for some reason Kyle takes $35 million from New Orleans, or $32 million from New Orleans, whatever. If he takes the New Orleans money, what would be your next move as far as the Heat's concerned?
Well, I would,
because if they take If Lowry takes that money, that means Lonzo is free.
Yeah, I would go after Lonzo or Conley. I mean, I think Conley's probably going to stay put. I mean, but Alf, I think that people don't understand. It's like when you go shopping for something nice, you're going to overpay, right? So
yeah,
you're all like free agency. You're always going. You're never when you get a good player, you're never going to get a guy at value. That's those days are over. Free agency is not a value game. You do that when you're close or when you're like the Hawks and you just have like a shit ton of cap space. The Heat are like, we're kind of close, right? So I'm okay with overpaying a guy like Lonzo. I'm okay if you overpay a guy like Mike Conley as a plan B. Again, contract.
Would that be like plan C at this point?
I think I'd prefer Conley over Lonzo, but I just think Conley is a little better. But I mean, Lonzo and Conley are like the, you know, 2A and 2B for me. Like, and you can make those work probably a little cheaper. So something also to note. So a Kyle 3-year deal, a 2-year deal for Kyle is like really nice because the second year would end when Jimmy's contract ends. And then Jimmy's obviously going to get an extension from the Heat. So that third year would be the first year of Jimmy's extension. Brian, could they possibly do something like these contracts like Harrison Barnes and Kevin Love's or whatever that they kind of decrease? So maybe they can give in the sign and trade, give Lowry a bigger number now. And then you hit like decreases or whatever. Or I mean, I know it's not that common, but. So that when it's the big year and the Jimmy extension year, you have a little bit more wiggle room and you won't have to pay Ryan Anderson's stretch provision.
So are you talking about just Jimmy's contract or both Jimmy and
I'm just talking about like structuring Kyle's deal in a way that you can that you can do that, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, you could basically, if you're going to do a sign trade with him, which is basically the only way you can get him, you just as a free agent. My max that he can give is 4% of his raises every year. If you do a sign and trade, you have to do minimum of 3 years. That does not include any options to his contract. Now, the first year is the only year that has to be guaranteed salary, 100%. Then you can actually like do a partial guarantee if you really wanted to in his later years. But just for this example, say Kyle Lowry wants to get $30 million. You don't have to start off his initial salary at $30 million. If the Heat really wanted to, and they want to kind of, you know, open up some more space under the hard cap to maybe, you know, retain Duncan Robinson or go after another guy like, you know, who knows, Brandon Ingram, who we might talk about later. I think I have numbers out. So if you want to sign him at a 3-year starting salary, which is $30 million a year, so three years, $90 million, which is what was reported today by Barry Jackson and
Clutch Adam. Yeah, I think Adam had that a week ago.
His starting salary is $28.5 million.
Yeah, they always have. They were like his way starting ahead of salary. This. Go, Brian.
Yeah, his starting salary is $28.5 million if you want to start him at a lower number. Now, if you want to start him at a higher number, then obviously it becomes more that you're up front, but obviously later on his years, it's 5% less each year. So you're talking like 31.4 on the first year rather than the third year, and just working that way back down to 28.5.
And Andy's good with that. I think Andy's pretty famous for finagling with bonuses and shit.
And that's another thing that I mentioned too on my Twitter timeline yesterday is like, the Heat could still give him $30 million and also helps that they're not like, they don't have to pay income tax. Cause I don't even, we have to look that up, but I feel like New Orleans has an income tax does not.
Miami and
Texas.
So that $30 million is not the same as a $30 million here.
Alf, you lived in two swamps.
I did. Yeah, I lived in Louisiana. They do have an income tax, and I did not know. They have a state income tax. I didn't know what that shit was. The first time I got my paycheck, I was like, what the fuck is
this? The rest of it?
I was like, this is some bullshit.
But, and I mean, just in terms of like Lowry, like they could still like put in, and this is what I was reading yesterday. This is exactly what the Nets, in order to bring in both Kyrie Irving and Durant, all be able to keep DeAndre Jordan, was they gave them unlikely bonuses that basically they have to meet a certain criteria. I think Kyrie's was he has to play 60 games while hitting a certain percent on his free throw, some bullshit thing that really makes no sense that they can get away with it, but they can categorize it as unlikely because, especially in Kyle's case, like he didn't play all the games last year. So
I would
that actually helps me.
I would tie Kyle Lowry's to body fat percentage.
Like a BMI.
They could do that. Look, he did that with James Johnson.
Yeah, there's no way he would meet that. So
listen, no, he's better.
They could circumvent the cap by.
I love the story. I don't remember if it was Lebatard or
if he's close, they just bring pastelitos into the locker room.
It's croqueditas. Shit.
Yeah.
Well, salty donut. I don't remember if it was Lebatard or if it was Ethan or who said this, but when Dwayne got traded back to the Heat from Cleveland, Riley called him and said, "You've eaten your last pancakes."
Right. That's the only thing I'm worried about Kyle here. If he doesn't, if he's going to be able to pass those conditioning tests,
I'll keep him away from the La Ventanita. Keep him away from all the Cuban pastries. Keep him away. It's a good food scene.
We're gonna have to like put him somewhere in like Margate. He's not allowed to live in Miami because like if he lives in Miami, he's gaining 50.
Keep
pounds.
His ass in Miramar.
But, like, would have been like Tamarack. Yeah. Like there's no foodie. No foodies go to Tamarack to eat at
Coral
Five
Springs.
Guys. Like, whoa.
Oh,
chill,
I'm sorry.
Bro.
Oh, I'm
chill.
Sorry. Coral Springs finest chill. Over here.
Chill.
You and Come Rohan. On.
That's home base.
Right, man, they poor guy. We're gonna fat shame the fuck out of them all season. We fat shame Dwayne Wade. Yeah. I mean, if we fat shame Dwayne Wade, we'll do it to anybody. If we did it to Dwayne, no one's safe.
Shmita Shmolik has a really good point. He's talking about Kyle here. What about Kyle in New Orleans?
A lot of gumbo. A lot of
holy shit. Like honestly, he's gonna be a beignets coma.
He'll end up being fatter than fucking Zion.
That's true. We gotta get Zion out of there. We gotta send Zion to like somewhere where he can have like kale smoothies.
Like Indiana. Like what are they like a lot of hearty food in
I feel like
Indiana.
They have a lot of cheese over there. I feel like the Midwest just has a lot of dairy. Probably not good.
Yeah. Probably not at all. Yeah, Black people are lactose intolerant. So.
Yeah, so just keep dairy sucks, man. So, fuck dairy.
I guess I guess we're all like in agreement. Lowry and then Lonzo. Well, you think Conley over Lonzo.
I mean, I'd be happy either way.
I think
none of you guys even mentioned Chris Paul, which seems more of a possibility than I thought would be.
You don't think? I don't think he's leaving either.
I don't think he's gonna leave, but I think he's gonna try to see how much he can get paid. And obviously, if Phoenix isn't willing to pay him,
if
then
the
that
Knicks
becomes
are smart,
a possibility.
If the Knicks are smart, they throw the fucking bag at him. They treat him like a goddamn king. And somebody has said this in the past. They're like, the Knicks, this is when like the Knicks were like bad and nobody wanted CP3. Like, they should bring CP in, pay him the bag, treat him like a fucking king because everybody respects him and he has pull. And, but they're stupid and they're not going to do that.
But do people want to play with Chris Paul?
I think so.
He's I think
certain kind of guy.
His generation of guys is gone. It's like the Dwayne Wade's, the Carmelo's. LeBron's got his own team. I don't think I guess Devin Booker's it's gotten something out of playing.
Devin
with
has
him.
A little Kobe in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of young guys want to play with Chris Paul. I mean, I could be wrong. You know,
like I think Karl Anthony Towns wants to play with Chris Paul. Like,
yeah.
No.
But like Jimmy.
What's Jimmy's relationship with Chris? Because I'm not even sure if they have I know he has a relationship with Kyle, but does he have a relationship with Chris at all?
No clue.
I mean, but I like, mean the Dwayne's kind of
the
like
Dwayne
a
connection.
Yeah. Dwayne's also the Mike Conley conduit.
But so I guess the thing with he kind of is making a trade.
Could
with
you
Dwayne,
imagine if he starts doing the dance? Remember when the fucking Trump white
Ben
guy
Gage,
Celtic guy, no, Danny Gage, Ainge and McHale,
Kevin McHale, they were just
funneling
swapping,
shit.
Yeah,
that this could be Dwayne's moment, dude.
Yeah, we're just gonna have all the Jazz's best players. Oh. Donovan Mitchell for Tyler Hero soon come.
They'd love Tyler Hero over there.
But I think we all agree that they're going to get a point guard. Like that has to be
number one.
But the next thing is a point guard is not enough. Like you add Lowry to this team, and let's say you do keep Duncan, and you know Ariza's back at the four. Like you are not markedly better than you were. You're better than you were last year, but I mean. What are you, a second round? It's a second round ceiling. What are the other moves that they can make? Like, when you're talking about signing trades and opting into Iggy and Dragic, what, you know, what does that allow them to do? Does that allow them to do the Sexton and Love trade, like, and the Lowry trade? I guess that's where my question is. Like, I don't know if you give Lowry the bag, are you still able to do the Sexton and Love moves? Are you still able to sign and trade Duncan for Brandon Ingram or something like that? Like, what are your limitations at that point?
I can answer part of that. I don't know about Kevin Love in particular because I need to pull up his contract, but I was looking at Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram does make 30, let me see.
That becomes hard. Million.
It becomes a little hard, but it's not impossible. It basically would mean you would have to probably get rid of Duncan.
But that would be the sign and trade.
Because
move.
You have to stay and the only limit that he have really is just trying to stay under the hard cap, which is $143 million, which is $6 million above the luxury tax. So that's where it becomes tough if Miami wants to try to keep some of their own free agents. Otherwise, like you're filling the rest of the team. Right? Yeah, otherwise, you're filling the rest of the team with exceptions. And
that includes, I'm fine with that.
The mid-level and then the vet men.
I'm fine. Like, if they are able – so if they're able to get, like, a Lowry, a Sexton, and a Love, or a Lowry – I don't know –
so
somebody in Brandon Ingram.
Did you see the Woj report?
Which one?
That Benjamin Thousand. People are sniffing around Harrison Barnes, and he makes 20.
Oh, here you go.
But he makes 20, so that number's easier. And if you can figure something out for Tyler over there or Precious over there, so if like you send Tyler for Kyle, and if you send Precious, because I think that probably Precious is a little more attractive to Sacramento than Tyler, just because more of a position of need. So if they can work something out where they send Precious there and then whatever, if Tyler's the asset to go for Kyle, so be it. And you bring back Barnes, you get out of Kyle, you get out of Tyler, and now you can start Jimmy, Kyle, Duncan, Bam, and Barnes. I'm feeling pretty good about that. And I saw people like poo-pooing that shit on the timeline, and I'm like, you got any better options?
I don't like that at all. Like, if Tyler Hero's your... Tyler Hero's your best asset. Like, if you're giving up Tyler Hero and you're getting back Harrison Barnes, I think you lost.
No, I think that's good.
I think you wasted your best asset to me.
What do you think? You think you can get better?
If Hero for Sexton somehow can work, that's what I would do.
But, like, you don't
like,
have
a... I would...
Energy. Probably is not going to trade Tyler Hero for fucking Harrison.
No, but I mean, it would be...
Please, God, no.
I would do it, man.
Somebody clip G saying he trade Tyler Hero for Harrison Barnes. Because that's going to go into your good, Hall of man. Fame of bet. He's good, but your best asset, you're trading for a guy you don't even know how. I mean, is he a four? Like, is he a legit four?
Yeah,
legit next four. To Bam. He's a four. That's the problem. Like, you need size and strength next to Bam.
He's a legit four.
He's a four, but.
To me, I would say I would rather you do
seven rebounds do a hero. Last season a game playing the four. That's good.
If you could do a Hero for Sexton type deal, and if you had to bring back Love, I don't know how all that works. And if you had a mid-level exception for a Morris twin type player who could play the four, I would much rather that than Harrison than losing Hero for Harrison Barnes.
That's fair.
I'd rather just wait out for Kevin Love to get bought out, to be honest. I'm not trying to pay him $30 million.
I don't want Kevin Love.
Yeah, me neither. Nah, he looks washed.
Well, that's the thing.
The thing is,
you say that you don't want Kevin Love, but once you get his contract on your team and you're already paying $30 million for Kyle Lowry, the rest of your team is going to be fucking Dwayne Dedmon's.
That's fine.
That's the mechanic, baby.
Listen.
Yeah, once Kevin Love is out for half the season with some random wrist injury, you're going to be wondering why you can't play, you know, more than like four or five guys in your game because the rest of the guys suck.
But we talk about this shit all the time. And we trash it. Yeah, exactly. We trash these teams for making these big moves. We ask, where's the Bucks' depth? We ask, where's the Nets' depth? Fuck depth.
The Bucks lost one of their few rotation players and they still won the title.
We ain't seen no Dante. He was gone.
Dog, you know how much Pat Connaughton they were playing? Pat Connaughton didn't even want to be out there.
Who gives a fuck about depth when you can be top heavy and win the East? And then once you get to the playoffs, you play seven guys. So five of those seven guys are top notch, and you have a Dedmon and Ariza coming off the bench, and you could salvage a fucking Spruce. I don't know what you
Solomon
do.
Hill in the finals.
Bro, come on.
Come on, man.
Like, fuck depth. I don't care about depth. I need good players at the top of my team.
I think depth is good for the regular season that you can. But that's
Kevin Love is not a good player right now, especially at his salary. I feel not, like that's the thing.
I don't
like,
want Kevin
yeah, Love. It's cool,
want,
but.
I want Kevin Love because.
I wouldn't
want
to do.
The only reason I want Kevin Love is taking Kevin Love might get you Sexton.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about getting Kevin Love. Like, that's what I'm saying. I want, like, a Morris Twin level type player with the mid-level exception. You can throw Love in the starting lineup to make him happy for a few weeks. He falls and breaks his ass, and then you put, you know, you put your mid-level exception guy at the four, and then Kevin Love works his way back over the next 3 years.
He plays center with Bam load management night.
Yeah. Love isn't the goal here. Sex is the goal.
Love and sex, baby.
Love and sex. Sex before love. Sex before like love is. You take love so you can get the sex.
Hey, everybody. Before we get into today's pod, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here on Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you wanted to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and e-learning course filled with tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll get your show published to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and other listening platforms. And the best part is that you can get this all for $15 a month. That's the same rate that any other hosting site would just charge you for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to your sports experience. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I feel pretty confident that the Heat are not going to make a trade for Kevin Love.
I don't think
that's a hot take.
Ravi 8 says Jermichael Green is a Morris Twin-like player.
Bring him in.
Yes. Ravi, that is the kind of guy, because he turned out $7 million, right?
Yeah.
You can give him $10 million of your mid-level exception, is that not a guy that you could play next to Bam?
Would you take Bobby Portis?
Shut your fucking mouth. You shut your fucking mouth.
My guy doesn't blink, dude.
I find it hard for him to leave right now. They made him a mayor of freaking Milwaukee.
No, he's
now.
Never
leave
leaving.
Him.
You saw him.
Leave him there.
He's found his home.
He's their Deshaun Stevenson.
He is Wisconsin.
He's like Mario Chalmers.
He is Wisconsin.
Bro, no.
Take your name out.
But would you give Jermichael Green a $10 million MLE?
But you don't have to.
I wouldn't give him the full MLE.
You can break up the mid-level. And
but if he turned down $7 million, you got to give him something.
I mean, you give him years. Yeah. I wouldn't give him like $9 million per year. To me, I feel like
you give him six, and then you can use the three
overpriced.
Like a Otto Porter or some shit. Somebody that's like kind of washed. You roll the dice on. Then you still have the biannual exception.
Rather give JaMychal the full MLE or Rudy Gay half the MLE?
Oh, Rudy for sure. I'd rather give Rudy half.
Is Rudy starting at the four for you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Rudy started for San Antonio, and they were, you know, obviously like a good team in contention on the West. I think that we're so like they just the issue with the power forward spot this year was it was either Olynyk who has like Olynyk's just kind of small, and the over switching, right? So like Olynyk or the toothpick that is Trevor Ariza. If you get a guy who's kind of strong at the four, Bam's a good rebounder, and if they get a guy who can defend the point of attack, they won't have to overswitch, so like their rebounding won't get compromised.
So Lonzo or Lowry, both of those guys, and Conley, all three of those guys fix the point of attack. So it cuts down the switching there. And then you need a four next to Bam that's willing to shoot, can shoot, and is strong enough to defend other fours. So Bam doesn't just, I mean, Bam's not running around trying to defend the strongest guy on the team every single night. That's why Jay Crowder works so well. Until he couldn't shoot anymore in the finals. But if you have that, so everyone thought like Ariza was this reasonable facsimile of Jay Crowder. He is not. If Jay Crowder was malnourished, that's Trevor Ariza, right? Like he was not big enough, not strong enough. So that's why I say a Morris twin level type. That's why I like JaMychal Green. Somebody in the chat asked about Daniel Theis.
No. Although it'd be funny.
If for. Half an MLE. Half
he
MLE.
Would have to be a center off the bench. He couldn't play next to Bam. It's like the same thing that they were trying to do.
He can't shoot either. So
I mean, he could shoot better than he could shoot better than Deadman.
I mean, Precious could shoot better than him.
Can he?
See that stroke to Nigeria?
Is shoot Steven it, baby. Adams stay, so, is Steven Adams good. Staying in Memphis?
Yeah. And I wouldn't want the contract. I wouldn't want the contract either.
There's open gym threes, man.
Valanciunas would have been interesting here.
You need a shooting power forward or center next to Bam. You can't roll out a bruiser.
Yeah, probably a four is more preferred. I think Dan's natural position is
a Morris twin.
Would disagree.
Okay, hear me
out. Morris twin. Any of them.
One of the other things that compromised your rebounding was their offense was so bad that they like really tried to leak out in transition sometimes, which means that you have fewer guys clashing the glass, right? So if your offense is a little better, you don't really have to like after the make or miss, you know, guys, you know, Duncan's leaking out, Tyler's like they have guys that are leaking out to try to, you know, get a little offense going because their half court offense was so bad. And I think if you get a guy like Kyle or Lonzo or whatever point guard you get and a guy like Rudy Gay who can shoot, I think your offense just gets better. And if your offense is better, you don't have to like make it a priority to get out and run. You can kind of stay and have an extra body to crash the glass. It's all connected. So like if they address one of these issues, you see how it all kind of lifts together. So if they get a guy like, you know, I'm telling you, if they get like a good quality starting point guard, and if they use part of the MLE on one of these Rudy Gays or Otto Porters or Nick Batums or JaMychal Greens or whoever, and then you kind of use the rest with some like veterans that like, you know, give these guys a chance, like these little prove it contracts, you know, with your biannual and then the rest of your MLE. I think you're in good shape. You re-sign Ariza, could come off the bench. You re-sign Deadman. You keep Duncan Robinson. And then if you keep Tyler as a trade piece, you know, now you like have like things, you know, and you have Gabe Vincent and Max Drews to eat some regular season minutes. And you can like legit get like a 10-man rotation that's like pretty good. And then you get to the trade deadline and you see what you got to do. Right off, like, I think it makes sense. Like, obviously, the guys, they need to get the point guard. But the other stuff, like, I can see the way that they can get there, and they're going to be competing for at least.
Listen, if you're telling me we go into next season with a starting lineup of Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, Rudy Gay, and Bam Adebayo, I'm not ecstatic, but I'm happy.
But right? What do people want? Like, what is going to make? Because I saw the fan base like shitting on my Harrison Barnes like thing. What is going to like? What are the players that will make this fan base happy? I don't understand.
I think if you're talking like maybe like a Lowry, Sexton, Jimmy Butler, JaMychal Green, and a Bam starting lineup, something like that would make people would be ecstatic.
I mean, you still have like the shitty, you know, defensive backcourt, right? Because you have Colin and Duncan.
No, yeah, I'm talking. I said Kyle Lowry and Colin Sexton. You have Lowry and Jimmy on the perimeter.
Keeping Duncan? in that scenario?
I don't think you can. You keep dunking in that scenario?
It gets tough.
I think it gets really tough.
What's the moves that you're saying? You said Lowry, so you're doing a sign trade for Lowry.
Sexton.
You're bringing in Colin Sexton. You're not bringing in Love, you said?
I don't know.
You probably have to take Love at that point.
If you bring in Love, you can't bring back Duncan.
Right.
If you just do a straight up trade for Colin Sexton, then yeah, you obviously can bring in Duncan. Colin Sexton is on a rookie deals contract.
Smeathan says, gee, we shit on your Harrison Barnes take because we don't want you to feel happiness.
That is true.
Honestly, he might be happy next week, week from now.
But
if we get fucking Kyle Lowry, I'm busting out a fucking smoke machine. There's a parade down Kendall Drive. I'm going in my Honda Accord down Kendall Drive. I'll fucking live stream it. I'll be beeping. I'll be playing songs. I'll be playing the. I'll do a fucking thing down Kendall Drive if we get Kyle Lowry. I'm doing it.
Do a live stream from Denton Air Park.
Yeah.
The Pelicans thing is what has me concerned about Lowry. But not too concerned, because if they take Lowry, we can get Alonzo. So I think we're in good shape for the point guard position. But if we get Lonzo, I'm even more dead serious about getting Sexton, because Lonzo is a score that Lowry is, and they need offense. They need someone to score. And if we have to take Love, we have to take Love, you know. But because I don't think hero for Sexton.
Sometimes you just need a little love, Alf.
Sometimes you need a little, but how about if Love gets moved to a third team? Like, we haven't talked about third team shit at all. Like, how about Love gets moved to Sacramento for Harrison Barnes? How about that? I sound like Stu Gotts. How about that?
How about that?
That, Brian? And you're sitting there with Lowry, Sexton, Jimmy, Barnes, and Bam. I'm all for that.
I got one better. How about this? This is my bold prediction of the offseason. I think Miami's going to trade Tyler Hero to OKC in a 3 or 4 team trade and use whatever picks they can get back for him, including using Tyler Hero as a way to also unprotect pick that they have for 23 to win up some of those picks. They can make a move with Duncan Robinson and then using either Iggy's salary or Dragic's salary. And you probably have to include one other piece too. To New Orleans and try to get Brandon Ingram that way.
You think that's a lot for Brandon Ingram?
You're talking about 2 first rounders, Duncan Robinson, and probably another asset that another team would have to send, because the only thing with doing a sign trade.
Do you guys feel like the moves today would indicate that they want to keep him? Because what they did was they got rid of Bledsoe. They brought in, you know, they got rid of Adams. They brought in Valanciunas. I think they want to get more shooty in their backcourt, right? And I think they just want to have the floor space for Zion. That kind of insinuated to me that they wanted to keep Ingram, because it's not like they got a wing or anything, right? They got rid of the problem.
There's some reports that I heard that they're not, in terms of like their offense, they're not really happy with, at least Zion's not happy with Brandon Ingram, because he needs the ball so much in his hands.
By the end of the season, he did have the ball. So if like somebody's not happy, it's Brandon. Because like by the end of the season, they were running. It was all like, which is weird that they fired Stan.
I feel like that fit should work because of the spacing. But I think in terms of what both those players want to do, they need the ball in their hands to kind of be the playmaker on the team, and they don't feel like they have the natural chemistry in order to make that work. And I think what David Griffin's really trying to do is he's trying to get players who can basically move off the ball. Like, that's why he really wants Duncan or even Kyle, because Kyle's really good at dribble handoffs too. Like, they want somebody that can play off Zion so that he has the space in order to drive and kick whenever he wants.
They're gonna have the firepower to get in like the Bradley Beal talks, the Lillard talks, all that stuff. Like, we haven't even talked about the Beal rumors, so like that's kind
of
floating.
Because it's a waste of fucking time.
Yeah, I mean, until like,
this is the realistic podcast.
I don't even see how they can get in that game. They just don't have the.
They can't get in the. The only thing, if you're talking about trading Hero to the Pelicans, opening up some picks. Maybe that gets you in the Dame or Beal game, but I don't even see it, because who are the players you're going to – like, this idea that everybody wants KZ and Precious, calm the fuck down, E-Twitter. Like, nobody wants KZ and
like
Precious
so, that
they're
bad. They're like so-so assets. They're not great assets.
They're throw-ins, and that makes the other fan base feel better. Like, look, we got younger. But no other GM is fucking drooling over KZ and Precious.
Like Jared Allen is an infinitely better asset than Precious, right? And Jared Allen was just like thrown away in that fucking Harden trade. He was like dumped into Cleveland's lap.
And like, so this whole idea that you're gonna throw Precious and KZ in with some second round picks and be in the game for Dame or Beal or Hero's not gonna get you there. Like, you don't have the draft capital for any of these guys. So that's why
Brian's theory where you could send Hero for your pick back and to remove protections, and that way now you can trade any pick you want.
My idea is because obviously OKC
has so many first rounders. But do you want to do all that for Ingram?
Just get one of their shitty first rounders back, open up the protections so that then you can actually trade out some of your future picks, like the 2025 pick, the 2027 pick, or you can do 2026, 2028. You have a lot of different ways that you can trade your picks down the road that opens up almost three or four first round picks that they didn't have before until.
But do you do that for Brandon Ingram?
No, but if you're doing that, yes, you're calling Portland and you're calling Washington.
You open up. Yeah,
I'm not sure every single one that you can do, but I think you do two first rounders and Duncan, and that becomes a really good trade package for someone like Brandon Ingram.
You fucking talent. Give up the next 10 years of your draft if you can get Bradley Beal in here with Jimmy and Bam. I'm sorry. If you have to.
Of course.
Fucking, yeah.
I don't know if you do a Duncan sign in trade, you're doing that just because you can't pay him. And then,
or if he's a part of like a deal for like a Beal or whatever, right? So it's like,
the chat can chime in. I don't know if two first round picks and Duncan is Brandon Ingram worth that to you guys?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not a fan of BI, but like he like makes you better and he's, you know. You have a legit.
But are you also getting Alonzo at that point? Or well, you're also getting Alonzo.
Probably not.
I'm talking, no, and you can get Lowry with him. But then that's basically, those are your two big moves besides your whatever you can get for the mid level.
I just don't see. I know that the reporting's kind of been there on the Ingram stuff. I'd be surprised if they move him. It just, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense for them. But then, you know, NBA is kind of crazy. But. The picks are just more valuable. Like, if they can free up the picks instead of having Tyler, it's just so much more valuable. Because, like, when you trade a guy like Hero, like, especially when he has an extension in, like, 2 or 3 years or whatever, that GM now has, like, a timer on his job, right? It's like, if this motherfucker doesn't work out, you're out of there, right? Because, you know, you just traded, you know, we reset for this guy. If it's picks, you have so much more time, right? That's why GMs love picks. I get all the fucking picks. I need time. I need to see how this turns out.
But I mean, OKC has so many fucking picks. Like, to get a
maybe smarter than us.
Maybe Brian has a point that to get a guy like Tyler, they'd give up, you know, some of the protection in the first round pick.
And a shitty pick, because it doesn't even have to be Miami's pick, which would be like in the 18 or 17 or 20 or whatever. They can give them like whatever, I don't know, one of the Clippers picks.
They have a Denver pick they can give up if they wanted to that they got back from Jeremy Grant. Pick. That's like a shitty pick too. Yeah.
So
yeah, someone says none for a pick. I mean, who's signing trading for Kendrick Nunn?
That's the thing. I don't understand. Who the fuck wants Kendrick like that?
No,
I thought of one destination.
Who? Where?
I think the Clippers could be a possibility.
Clippers could use Kendrick Nunn.
I don't think he's better than Reggie.
I mean, if you don't want to pay Reggie Jackson.
He might be a little too overpriced for them.
Yeah, that's such a downgrade. Holy shit.
But I don't think the Heat keep none.
The Knicks are a team. I mean, no. The Knicks have a lot of guards.
I don't think so either. I think they're going to work to try to do a sign trade for him if they can. At least they're going to try to sign trade one of him or Duncan.
I thought Denver might be a place for Kendrick.
You know what's a good question? And you guys' predictions. Who do you see from this year's roster on next year's roster?
Other than the two obvious ones.
Two, but outside of Bam and Jimmy.
Outside of Jimmy and Bam.
Deadman.
I think Deadman for sure. I think Ariza comes back.
I hope. Barry had the report that the Heat are interested. So Barry put that out a little bit before we went live.
I would love to say Dragic, but
somebody said UD. Man, I don't want to be. I hope not.
There is a way for them to bring back Dragic on a mid, like if they don't take, if they don't obviously
they need that money.
Hold on, wait, Brian, I don't want to cut you off. Tony though said, who do they target as backup point guard? McConnell. We need McConnell for the Hangover Time content.
Oh my god.
We need TJ you know what content.
Do you know what's gonna happen to me? And because karma's a bitch, we're gonna end up with Bobby Portis, TJ McConnell, and Thanasis.
I hope so.
Like that is going to be our bench unit.
That mob with Deadman. Oh my god, think of the as a podcast slash streaming, like I'd fucking love that.
I should be rooting for that. Like honestly, if I ever step back in that locker room, they'll probably jump me.
He can never go back. That injustice, because like now the report is that Memphis is not going to be able to keep Justice because of the salary that they just made, so they're going to not opt into his deal. So Justice will be a free agent. So just bring in Justice too.
What about Josh?
Come home, King.
Is Josh a free agent?
He's a He has a player option.
He probably takes it.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's gonna pay him.
I mean, maybe he opts out and he comes home because he's unhappy. But I mean, that's a good team. He was so fucking bad in the playoffs. Like that, have you ever seen like your friend do something that they embarrass themselves and you have like secondhand embarrassment? I felt with Josh. It's like, oh damn, I'm so sorry, dude.
I mean, this what happens every time I watch Justice Winslow play.
I don't anymore. That's why I don't like. It's it like feels bad.
It's like we made a song for that motherfucker. Damn it.
The song's a banger, dude. Devin Booker scored, but his Winslow is like Brass and Leif absolutely killed it. That is, I mean, like Booker Bros was good. Justice Better is like the magnum opus. That shit.
Honestly, every time we make a song about somebody, they have a bad season afterwards.
We gotta stop doing that.
Yeah, no more songs.
We're like it's a reverse of the draft. We talk shit about a guy at draft night and then they're great.
Let's make a song about Giannis.
You heard him, Brass. Get on it.
I'd
like Josh back. I just don't think that's happening. This free agent class really fucking sucks. I'm not going to lie. And a lot of this is like sign and trade shit. They might just have to keep on to Tyler until I mean, I think, do you guys want to keep Tyler? Like, is that somebody you want to see on this team long term, Alf?
I'd be fine with it. Like, it doesn't bother me either way. The only reason I want to see Tyler go is because he's your best asset and you need help. Like, you got to cash in the chips. Yeah, like, you need, like, we can't wait 2 or 3 more years for Tyler Hero to be a, you know, a high-level NBA player. Like, he's a good player right now.
I mean, he was a contributing factor in a finals run. It's like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to shit talk the guy.
I never say Tyler's trash. Like, I don't. That's not my position. My position is the Heat need more than Tyler has off. Tyler is your most valuable asset. So to get the help the Heat need, they most likely have to give up Tyler. And some people like Hero and Sexton are comparable. And to me, they are not. Not when what the Heat needs is somebody who could put pressure on the other team's defense. We had nobody. Like, you watched it. There was nobody on the Heat that consistently put pressure on the other team's interior defense. Nobody. And so what happened? So we ended up doing all of our actions around the perimeter because we had nobody that could break down a defense. Colin Sexton can do that. Tyler Hero cannot, right? Tyler Hero, he can get himself buckets. He can operate in small spaces. But, I mean, seeing the whole floor, like being, I mean, the things Lonzo Ball can do compared to Tyler is like, it's night and day. So you need Tyler to get you the help that the Heat need. And that's not to say that Hero can't help the Heat. It's just not enough.
I was texting with our friend Leif at Five Reasons over the weekend, and we're talking about Hero. And I was like, man, it's like we called it because, you know, we used to talk about this on the pod. It was like he came out and we were kind of confused by the pick, and we've made our fun in our montages. But like once we really like got settled and kind of got to watch him like in the pros, it became really clear that he was Lou Williams-esque, right? He has like this unique bag where he's a good shooter. He had a down year, but he's a genuinely good shooter. He can get to the pull up in the mid range. He can get to certain spots on the floor. He's a crafty finisher. He just can't get the separation and he doesn't get to the free throw line. So I was like, he's like kind of like a Lou Williams, except without getting to the free throw line as much because he doesn't really have that burst. He has a change of pace. a dribble that I think is really good. I think he's really good at using screens. He's kind of like a slither in and a, like kind of like Wade, like Father Prime Wade. He was like really good at kind of getting in the seams and kind of working those angles. But he's just, what he doesn't have is the ability to kind of create contact, to take contact, to finish over contact. And that's just going to be like a limiter. He's not ever going to be a good defender. He just doesn't have the body for it. Maybe he can get to a point. Like, I think he's like a pretty decent like guy. And like, he'll make the right rotation, right? Like, I thought Kendrick, it's funny because like he and Kendrick were both awful. But Kendrick was like dying on screens and like never make, like, but he was like better on ball. But Kendrick would never make the right rotation. And Tyler was like so fucking shitty on ball and so shitty around screens. But he would like make the rotations. And you can see that in
not the all the time.
No, but like, bro, I'm talking about like from an F to a D minus. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're, you know, they're playing the Magic and Tyler's building a wall around the paint. It's like, what are you doing? It's Evan Fournier. Like, go guard him.
Listen,
like,
Team USA.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to learn today.
Like, I mean, Tyler had a lot of brain farts defensively. And that's the thing. He's a growing young player. But to me, I'm like, you got to take advantage of Jimmy's window. Yeah. And like, that's why I want guys like Lowry, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Jermichael Green. Like, guys that are proven commodities and can play right now. Like, those are the guys I want to see.
So,
there's
what a
fucking fly in here. It's driving me nuts. By the way,
the fly?
We twitching this shit. Yeah.
You get it?
I'm getting it. No, I'm trying.
On stream.
Still on stream. Okay. Did you get it?
It's all these trash takes. They're attracting flies. No, I don't think I
so
got it.
So you did not get it, is what you're saying.
I got his ass. Yep.
Oh, you got his ass.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I should have killed the show there. I think that's what you were trying to do.
With the trash day?
Do you want to take a question before we go?
Okay, yeah.
He's still moving.
What you got, Brian?
He's injured gravely.
I'm just looking to see what people Ravi want. Says, if you guys have any other questions.
Alf, I need you to say that we're going to have a horrible free agency, including undrafted free agency. I feel like there's no reverse jinx going in, so we got to use it to the Heat's advantage.
I already did the reverse jinx. We are going to end up with TJ McConnell. And that's and reported. So it's going to be TJ McConnell, Butler.
Doc, somebody just sent us a Thanasis jersey shop on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that. Bobby Portis at the four and Bam at five. That's going to be our free agency. And you might witness a live suicide on Hangover Time as I shoot myself in the fucking face.
Take me out, Brad.
Are you sure we could kick off Twitch for that?